Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us on this Sabbath day with your presence. Thank you for blessing us last night as well when we gathered. And thank you for giving us a changing of the showbread today. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with eternal life and the latter rain so that we can go forth and do the work. Thank you for blessing everyone on the prayer list, everyone here in attendance, and everyone that's doing the work all around the world. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, give me a minute. Thanks, Brother Joe. I forgot to lock down the server. Give me a second here. So sad that we actually have to do that on Sabbath day. You know, there's people out there, and one of them is SDA, that likes to attack on a regular basis just for the sake of, you know, annoyance. It's so sad. What are they going to tell Jesus when they see him? Okay, let me make sure I got everything. Okay, all right, so I want to welcome the new people. Right. Okay, Courtney, I think that's one of my offsprings. I'm not sure. She didn't PM me back. And Dusk. Okay, let me see. For some reason, it's saying that the main page is not available. Oh, boy. But everybody's able to come into the room. Isn't that weird? But then no one else is going to be able to come into the room. All right, let me just see. I tell you, it never ends. Give me a minute. What's going on? But, someone's obviously trying to hack us. So let me shut the server down and start it over again. Everybody's going to fall out. So we're going to be running a little late today. Okay. All right. So appears to be fixed. So if you're new, I want to welcome you, and if you would like to follow along with the study, if you scroll, if you scroll underneath the chat room, you'll see we're in lesson number 27, which happens to be about tithing. We're almost done with this lesson because we're on question number 30. And the question is, what is one way of laying up treasure in heaven? And Matthew 19, verse 21 says, I'm assuming, okay, Matthew 19, 21. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Gorin. It says, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. As we know, we actually were talking about this last night, weren't we? I think so. But anyway, as we know, Jesus is speaking to the rich young man here. And sadly, once he heard this from the lips of the Creator, he walked away very sorrowful. And as we also recall, this is why Jesus said what he did in Matthew 19, 24. And he said, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God. But if you go to the NIV, let me see if I still have it in here. Hold on a second here. Yeah, and the only reason I keep this, well, I don't even want to call it a Bible. the only reason I keep this work of fiction is because of times like these. When you come across verses that you know have been doctored, like Acts chapter 8, verse 37. I'll give you $1,000 if you can find that verse in the NIV. It's not in there. As well as 2,000 other verses. Let me just see. I'm pretty sure this one was doctored up, or could have been in a different area here. Okay. Oh, it's verse 24. Yep. So I got to go another page. And I got to tell you, in some of the pages, the helps are bigger than the amount of scripture on the page. I mean, they're just, that's what they want. They want the people to read the helps. That's why this is copyrighted and the King James isn't. But verse 24 says, okay, I'm in the wrong chapter then. This is 19:24. I'm in 9:24. Oh boy, I tell you. I guess my brain got a little rattled this morning here. And it says, oh, it says the rich man. Okay, then it must be in a Mark, Luke, or John, where the word rich man is taken out. And all it says is, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It doesn't say anything about the rich man. It just says how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God, making it look and appear impossible. And so you're going to get people that that are on the fence, if you will, that say left Islam or Buddhism or whatever the case may be, and they had a pretty well easy job of it in those religions, if you want to call them religions. And then they come to this, and they find out it's next to it. They find out the creator of this this truth is saying it's hard to get into heaven. They're going to go, oh well, then forget that. You know, they'll just walk away from it. So, but for those of you that are new, Jesus isn't talking about a needle that we use to sew clothing with. He's actually talking about the needle gate, or needle gates. I think there was more than one in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. I mean, I would think there would be more than one gate because it was a big city. You're not going to have just the one coming in and out because people can travel in and out of the city on Sabbath. He didn't have a issue with that. It was, back then, the main defense of any city, today it's nuclear warheads, then soon, and I'm sure they're already working on like a force field of some extent. I mean, all they have now is what Reagan called 1,000 points of light kind of a thing with the, I don't know if he called it that, but I think he mimicked it in regards to lasers that can shoot nuclear warheads out of the sky. I mean, they're already using it on aircraft carriers, and so we already know they work, but the main defense of any city back then was just to have, just big old wall all around it. And, so as to allow for trade, they would have gates to allow traffic in and out of the city, big gates. And they were really big gates, so that a fully loaded camel would have no problem walking through, as probably side by side with another one. But when the Sabbath came upon them, all these gates would close except the needle gates, which were much smaller, so as to allow only men to pass through. So small, in fact, that if you wanted to get a fully loaded camel through that gate, you would have to first unload all of his cargo, bring it through the doorway, because it was just kind of like a door. It wasn't no gate. It was a small little door, but they called them gates back then. I think we invented the word door in our day. And so they went back and forth that way and, you know, take all the cargo off the camel and then bring it through piece by piece. And then if they could figure out a way to get the camel to come through, like getting it to walk on its knees, they'd go for it, I would imagine. But still, that would be quite an undertaking. That's why Jesus said what he said. But the young rich man is no different than the fully loaded camel. I mean, the straight and narrow path, like the needle gate, does not allow all the baggage of life upon it, you know, all the dross that should be burned off in the first place. We are to walk with Christ just as he commands us so as to have the better and more peaceful life. And I could see why Jesus said what he said, because like most rich people, and especially if you're young and you're just starting to realize how much enjoyment can be attained by flaunting as well as spending, you know, money, giving all that up to walk the straight and narrow path, that would be very hard for some people, yeah. This rich young man who was a ruler could not contemplate giving up all that. I mean, Christ read the young ruler's heart and saw that he lacked only one thing. But it was a very important principle. This young man needed the love of God in the soul. I mean, can you imagine how he had the love of, like if he had the love of Jesus in him, how he would have no issue whatsoever using his wealth to further the church, you know, kind of like Nicodemus did, you know, right after Christ ascended. Nicodemus is the one he was talking to that night about getting, you know, being born again. And so obviously the truth that Jesus shared with him affected him in a big way, because eventually he was one with us. His money actually helped fund the New Testament church, just like there's going to be Nicodemuses in our day that will eventually fund the church. And as all of you do, like with the tithing and the love offerings, you know, you're all doing your own little Nicodemus thing here. But Nicodemus was rich, and so every now and then, you know, eventually we may see our Nicodemuses here, like the man, anonymously, of course, refusing thanks and all that stuff, is the one that got us that motorhome. Obviously was a rich man, but that's, you know, all I've heard of him since. And I think his name was Robert, let me say. No, his name was Daniel. And I still, you know, you pray for him. That he is blessed for doing what he did, because we were able to get a lot of people baptized thanks to that motorhome, and we're still using it for that. And as was painfully obvious here by his sorrowful response to the Lord's petition to his heart, you know, the young man, again, Satan had a hold on him, wherein all his riches, all his fame, all his position, all his pride, and of course even the ease of life was threatened by the suggestion of Jesus to give it all up to follow him to go to heaven. You know, if the young man had the love of God within, he would have used all he had to do the work. But without the love, and even if he used all of it, like Nicodemus, because Nicodemus died penniless, everything he had eventually ended up in the church, and which the timing was perfect. The Lord gave him what he needed to, you know, get through life. I mean, the Lord's not asking him to get rid of, sell everything and become a pauper. No, that's not what he's saying here. He's saying use his wealth to go forth and help the needy. But without that love, all he saw was Jesus threatening to take away all that he was accustomed to. And just as Satan shows the rosy picture to his victims when he tempts them to embrace riches in an evil way, he also paints a very scary view upon his victims who are moved to use their riches in a blessed way. You know, he's going to make you scared, like Ananias and Sapphira. You know, they couldn't think about giving it all up, and so they stashed a little bit of it, thinking, like, what if this Christianity thing ain't really all it pans out to be, and here we are joining it, selling all we have, and giving it to all of the church, and we're all going to live together, and whatever needs we are needing, it'll be met by just asking the leaders in the church, okay, I got to buy food for this, or we need medicine for that, or we need housing for us, or whatever the case may be. I mean, in reality, Christ's words were an echo of biblical jurisprudence penned long ago, wherein he spoke through Joshua. When he said, choose you this day whom you will serve, in Joshua 24:15, of course. God grants us all free will. The choice was left with the rich young ruler, and it was all on him. Just like the choice was left with the apostles when the Lord told them to throw the net on the right side of the boat. And all of a sudden there were so many fish in the net that, you know, they were going to be doing all right for the next week or two, you know. But then that was the day he gave them the choice. You know, you can continue on being fishermen and make a humble living at it and be happy. Or, you know, you can go forth and just do the work. And it's going to be a little rough. It's actually going to be a lot rough. Some of you are going to be martyred. So, I mean, the young man asked what he must do. And Jesus told him exactly what was needed to be done. It's like we all do that. We all ask the Lord, what would you have us do? Jesus knew, he knew that the young man's wealth had gotten to him, and he needed to put it behind him so as to store treasure in heaven. Because down here, and it doesn't matter if you're a trillionaire, and there are some people out down here that are like that. You don't know them. They don't advertise their wealth. They don't care. Like you see the 10 richest men in America, like Bill Gates on down and stuff like that. He's not the richest man anyway, you know, in accordance to real riches. Sure, he's a billionaire, multi-billionaire. He might be up in the 90s now, 90 billion. But that's nothing compared to these trillionaires. And these guys don't even care if anybody knows. To them, it's no longer about the fame. It's about power. And that's why you see the world being such a mess, because none of these guys are godly men. The devil doesn't allow. I mean, the Lord would allow it if he needed us to do it and use it for his work. And he will do that, especially during the time of the loud cry when it gets very, very loud. There's going to be people that are going to be giving everything they have into the work. And it will get done. But the majority of the people on this planet now that have a lot of money aren't very happy about letting go. They all got a white-knuckle grip on it. So like so many today that walk away from Jesus, and some do so for far less than giving up wealth and fame. Some will walk away because they know they must obey all that is written in the Word, and they can't deal with that. You know, as the rich young man knew, he had to obey what Jesus said because he knew it was truth. And so to this day, many will walk away when the truth like this rocks their boat. It makes them they have to step out of their comfort zone. And again, some will walk away for far less reasons. Some cannot give up an adulterous relationship, for example. Some can't give up alcohol. Some refuse to take off their jewelry, as the obedient souls did when Jacob commanded them to do so in Genesis 35. Remember when they told them to get rid of it and bury it? And yes, some even refuse to stop eating unclean foods. I mean, the truth is, there are all sorts of very strange reasons people walk away from Jesus in today's world. And so I won't go into that here, as it would take some time to list them all. And not all of them are, ways of losing salvation, but they make it that way because a lot of people will make it a salvation issue because of the way they idolize it, if you will. But I'm sure everybody here gets my point on that. But Jesus was yearning for the young rich ruler's conversion in the same way he yearns for each and every one of us. He answered his questions, and he showed him just what he needed to work on to better his walk and to have more happiness and peace in life. Because it really doesn't matter how much money you have. I mean, every now and then you'll hear, especially I come across this a lot, because I, every day but Sabbath, I'm reading news articles so as to find something. And there's always three or four things that I'll find on a daily basis that I can speak on my updates on the main page of the website in regards to prophetic events happening in the news. But some of it is so redundant, I just pass it by. And so I have to look for that one or that two articles. And I usually only get one. I'm always fighting to get that one article. And I, praise God, usually get it. But I always come across, especially in the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, and the end of the year, they always have these lists of people we have lost from Hollywood. You know, stuff like that. Or famous people that have died this year, you know. And so it's not just Hollywood. It's politicians and whatnot or whatever. And you go through the list, because I'm always curious to look back to see, okay, who died this year? And when it comes to the famous, quote-unquote, famous people, And quite a few of them kill themselves. So money ain't all that. And I know a lot of people say, oh, the Illuminati this, the Illuminati. Okay, well, that might be all well and true, too. But a lot of these people were depressed, too. And they vocalized their depression to their friends and family. So money isn't, you know, isn't all that, as some people believe. But still, this young man, he wanted the heavenly treasure that Christ was offering. But not in the way Jesus explained was necessary to get it. You know, let me get it this way, Lord, you know. It's like so many people today, you know, it's kind of like the thing you hear on the street. Oh, I don't think the Lord would be upset with me if I did that. You know, he's too loving. You know, that kind of mindset has gotten so far, you know, embraced that there are actually people now. Actually, I ran into them about 20 years ago when I first got online, maybe 25. I don't know how long I've been online, to be honest with you. But when I first got online, I ran across some people, and I was in Fire Talk preaching. They come in there, and they try to convince everybody. It doesn't matter. And I'm not talking about the Baptists with their once under grace, always under grace thing, because with the Baptists, they insist that you have to at least act like a Christian. I mean, but if you continue on sinning after finding Christ, you're guaranteed heaven, even if you don't repent of the sin. And they don't bring into the mix 1 John 1:9. You know, they just more or less say, I mean, it's there. They do preach it's there, but they do admit that, because I've went to a lot of Baptist churches after we left the Catholic Church. And so I was back and forth, trying to explain to them, says, this is just folderol, what you guys are saying here. You can lose your salvation, right? But there's people out there that, I don't know what their denomination is. I think they just call themselves non-denominational, but they were sneaking into the Fire Talk rooms, and later on they were in the other rooms that I was going to after Fire Talk went belly up, and they were saying stuff like, absolutely everybody, including Hitler, Attila the Hun, Cain, you know, the first murderer, first child ever born, kills his younger brother. He's going to be in heaven. They say, I says, why? Why do you even believe that? Well, because God is love. Have you ever read about his strange act? Isaiah talks on that, right? About, yeah, God is love, but there's also, you know, a line that's drawn in the sand that you can't go over. I mean, case in point, Satan got kicked out of heaven, and he's got a lot more going on between his ears than you do. But still, people actually believe that God will look the other way, or he's not really going to think that it's that big of a deal, like with the Sabbath, for example. I mean, and only the Sabbath, because, okay, there's other people that, like, say they break commandment number 7, you know, with the adultery thing. And they know what they're doing is wrong. And so that's not really an issue, right? They know it's wrong to do that. Or even killers or liars. Even a liar knows, oh, yeah, that's wrong. Okay? But for some odd reason, commandment number 4, they don't seem to think it's a big deal. And but yet, you have to ask, okay, let's say you go into a certain city. Because you can be kicked out of a jurisdiction. I was kicked out of a city. They refused a business license the whole 9 years. It says, you're not welcome in this city. So we eventually ended up moving out. I mean, they couldn't kick us out of our home, but because I couldn't do business, I couldn't pay the rent, so we ended up leaving anyway. Please don't text me while I'm preaching or teaching. Please, please, please. That's very distracting. All right. But let's say you go into a city and you decide, okay, I don't care, you know, that the city says it's illegal to park between the hours of 9 to 5, you're still going to get a ticket, and you're still going to get your car pounded or towed away if you don't pay the ticket, and you know, whatever the case may be. There are laws and rules and regulations for that city. If you break them, you're either going to get kicked out of the city or you're going to be thrown in jail. Well, in New Jerusalem, there is a law of the land. It's called the Ten Commandments. That is the law of that land. Okay, fine. Everybody thinks, well, there's only 10. Yeah, well, God's not stupid like mankind. Mankind has got thousands of laws. I mean, they still got laws in the books in New York that it's illegal to be ugly. Seriously. And what they mean by ugly, of course, is just be disgusting, you know, doing something that's disgusting. And I think there are some cities, I think in Texas, it's illegal to spit. You know, because they used to, that's why they put out the spittoons and stuff. They still have these things on the books. There's thousands and thousands of laws every year. As a matter of fact, Obama just last year, in January 1st, I think it was January 1st, it was all over the internet. Okay, you better make sure that you know about these laws, because if you happen to be walking down the street and you, cops can arrest you now for laws you never even knew existed. There's so many laws now. But still, that doesn't negate the 10 that are in New Jerusalem. And so many people think it does. I think it's no big deal. You know, it's like, I think one of the brothers were mentioning this a while ago in regards to like the trees in the Garden of Eden. I thought that was a good analogy, the way it was described. I mean, God didn't say just pick one day and seven. If that's the case, then he could have just said to Adam and Eve, just pick one of those seven trees and you choose not to eat the, you pick ever, he goes, I'm going to say you can't eat one, the fruit off of one of them trees. And so, and even though the Lord specifically pointed to the one tree, the knowledge of good and evil, he says, you can't touch this tree. Don't eat it. Don't, you know, steer clear of it. And so, of course, that's where the devil hung out, right? And so Adam and Eve could have very easily said, well, you know, I'm just going to pick, there's seven trees in the garden here, so I'm just going to pick, you know, that tree instead. Is that God's will? No. Anybody could say, you know, this is what God, what I believe God says. Well, says, look, the Bible says you can't take away or add there too, to what he's saying. He says, follow what I said. That's the only thing, that's the only way you're going to be happy. And he's not doing it to be a jerk. He's not doing it to be a tyrant. He's not doing it to show off his, you know, eternal muscles. He's doing it because he knows it's the best thing for you. I mean, if we had the ability to talk to birds, they could really talk up a storm on that one, because think about it. They don't go off and do things the way they feel is, well, I think maybe it would be better to do it this way or do it that way. They'd be dead. They know that there's certain things that they can eat, and there's certain times of the day that they should eat, and there's certain times of the year that they should build the nests, or whatever the case may be, or any kind of animal. I mean, seriously, do you see any obese animals? You know, and I just bring that one up because I don't know of any animals out there that are doing sinful things. But there's one thing that you could see with the animals that you do see with mankind, and that's the overeating thing, or even the homosexuality thing. You know, even though the homosexual movement is trying to go out there and trying to, because I saw a couple articles, and you see them once or twice a year, they're trying to convince people that certain animals are homosexual in nature. And they'll happen to get a picture of two lions cuddling or something, you know, getting a little too close to each other, acting like they're doing something. And they're not. That is not an issue with the animals. They're not stupid. They have a thus saith the Lord, and they're going to follow his, you know, his lot for their lives. And I'm not saying he's talking to them on a daily basis or anything like that. We don't know that. The Bible doesn't go into detail there. We'll find out when we get home. And we'll have the opportunity to sit next to the lion and, you know, with the lamb. You know, there's not going to be any meat eating, in other words, up there. And that includes the animals won't be eating any meat either. But anyway, getting back, this young man wanted the heavenly treasure. But he didn't want it in the way that the Lord was saying is the way to get it. There's only one way to get it. I am the way, the truth, and life, Jesus said. It's not Oprah theology. Well, there's many ways to Jesus Christ. No, that's a bold-faced lie. There's only one way. It says in 1 John 2:15 that we all must love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The young man wanted heaven, yes, but he also wanted all that his wealth granted him, and he wanted heaven on his own terms, his way or the highway, kind of a guy. He wanted to take all his worldliness to heaven with him, and that's just not possible. If you can't give it up down here, you're going to have a real difficult time being up there. Well, at least for the first 1,000 years, because eventually they'll be on this planet anyway, at the end. So his sorrow was apparent that he did want eternal life, but he was not willing to make the sacrifice to that end. So like so many today who wallow in the muck and the mire of the world, to them, the gift of salvation, yeah, and eternal life, no less, is far too great. Because, you know, it's something that, like the rich man, they too have great possessions, and they can't it's far too great of a temptation to ignore or to bow to. They look at it as a temptation to give up or something. It's just strange. And again, it doesn't have to be wealth and fame for some people to consider what they have as a great possession. The poor can have things that they will not give up to for Christ, just as much as the rich man. I mean, there's a lot of poor people going to hell too. It all depends on how Satan paints the bells and the whistles that they have in their life. So you don't have to be a multimillionaire or even a thousandaire for that matter. You don't have to have a lot of money to step into the pits of hell where there are no gates. So hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.